Today's daf is Yevamos daf Lamed Zayin. And we have 13 lines from the top of daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Ein Havlad Shel Kayama V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Elazali Pasholim ben Feger Rachel, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Yaakov David ben Perel Frimit, and Esther Kreindl bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Sarah bas Reb Naftali Menachem, and Leilui Nishmas, Shlomo ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Reb Chaim Doiv. So we're continuing along in the beginning of Perek HaChoyletz, the first Mishnah of Perek HaChoyletz, which discussed the halacha of HaChoyletz Liyavimtai. That was the resh of the Mishnah, or Hakoine says Yevimtai, that was the safe of the Mishnah, v'nimtzas me'uberes, and then after the chalitza, after the yibum, it emerged that the Yevama was pregnant, which means that her status as a Yevama is technically pending. V'yolda, then she gave birth, says the Mishnah. How does that impact the chalitza? How does that impact the yibum? It depends. Bizman she'avlad ben kayama, one way. U'bizman she'in avlad shel kayama, then it's going to be another way. Specifically, as it relates to Hakoines as Yevimtoi, V'nimtzas Me'uberes, V'yolda, and Ein Havlat Shel Kayama. So the Mishnah said, in that case, Yikayim. The Yavam is allowed to stay with the Yavama. The reason is, because even though she was a Me'uberes at the time of the Yibum, but once the child was miscarried, Igloi Milsalim Afreya, that she was really a Yavama. If she was really a Yavama, so now she's an Eishas Ach B'makoy Mitzvah. So if the Yavam wants to stay married to her, he can't stay married to her. And that's why the Mishnah said in one word, Yikayim, that they're allowed to stay married. Now in the Gemara we saw Machloikis, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Yikayim simply means Yikayim, just stay married, or Yachzor V'yivol V'yikayim. It's totally in whether Bias Me'uber Shma Bia, Lo Shma Bia, the first Sugya in Perek HaChoyletz. But we already finished that first Sugya, albeit in one share. And now we're moving along, and we are going to discuss some other more technical aspects of the end of the Mishnah. And that is, the Mishnah said, Ein Avlad Shel Kayama V'chulu, and the V'chulu is where the punchline is, Yikayim. Zok the Gemara Tana, we learned in the Braisim, Shem Rabbi Lezer Amru, who said in the name of the great Rabbi Eliezer, Yoitzi Beget, not Yikayim, but rather Yoitzi, meaning, whereas the Stam Mishnah said that Hakoines says Yevimtoi v'nimtzas Me'uberes Ein Avlad Shel Kayama Yikayim. Why? Because Igloi Milsalim Afreya, that she was a Yevama. So if they want to stay married, they could stay married. And again, Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, you do need another bia, you don't need another bia. But for sure, Yikayim, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, they can't stay married. They're obligated to separate, they have to part ways. Yoitzi, beget, he would have to give a get. Amar Rava. So Rava said, that what's the reason for Shitas Rabbi Eliezer? The reason must be, because Rabbi Eliezer holds, that even though, at the end of the day, everything worked out, because unfortunately the child was miscarried, so it turns out she was a Yevama, so it turns out she was an Eishes Ach B'makoy Mitzvah, so it turns out they're allowed to stay married, but when this person was Koines as Yevimtai, he didn't know that. Eliyahu Navi didn't come. So as a result, he had no way of knowing that this was going to work out for him. Turns out then that he did something wrong, and because he did something wrong, Rabbi Eliezer holds, this is the way Rav understands Rabbi Eliezer, that Yoitzi Beget, we don't allow this person to get married. So if somebody does something questionable, something that he wasn't really supposed to do, even if it plays out, but if when he did it, he was actually taking risk that halacha doesn't allow him to take, we force them to part ways, and therefore the halacha is Yoitzi Beget. So Rav said, if that's Pshat and Rabbi Eliezer, I want you to know there's another Tana that I believe would hold of this Shita. Meaning, even though in the Braisa, just Pashav Shana the Gemara, it was only Rabbi Eliezer that said Yoitzi Beget, we're not aware of any other Tana that holds that way. But if Zilbas or Taim, if you understand the Svara behind Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, I could find another Tana that holds of this sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that even if Ein Avlad Shel Kayama, Talach is Yoitzi Beget, And who is that other Tana? It's the Tana Rav Meir. Zok to Gemara, Rav Meir v'Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Dover Ech. Rabbi Eliezer, hold on, Mark. We just said Rabbi Eliezer. Who's Rav Meir? Where do you find Rav Meir holds of this principle? The Tana we learned to the Brisa. L'Isa Adam Uberes Chaver. A person is not allowed to marry a Uberes. So, for example, there's a pregnant woman that was divorced, or she became an Almana. So, anytime a woman's married, before she gets married again, she has to wait 3 months. The Halacha of Havchana. She waited 3 months. Says the Brisa. So, there's still a Halacha that a woman that's a mu'uberes or a woman that's a meinekes is not allowed to get married. Ve'im nasa, what happens if somebody marries a mu'uberes, someone marries a meinekes, yoitzi, v'lo yachzor elam mistiv Rameir. Rameir says he has to give her a get. Now does he have to give her a get? He's never allowed to marry her again. The chachamim say yoitzi, I agree. They're supposed to part ways. However, when the muberes gives birth, so she's not a muberes anymore, or the menekes stops nursing her child, at that point they would be able to get married again. Now, why would Rav Meir hold something so drastic that if someone marries a muberes chaveri menekes chavera yoitzi v'lo yachzer elamas, it must be because Rav Meir holds that being that this person violated an iser marriage, he wasn't supposed to marry this woman, therefore we say yoitzi. Ah, says Dr. Rav. Rabbi Eliezer said, as it relates to the Halach of our Mishnah, if someone's kindness and mu'uberes, being that he wasn't allowed to, because how did he know whether or not she was going to end up having a child or not having a child? And had she had a child, she would have been an Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah. So even if the Vlad is Einishal Kayama, it doesn't matter. You married a woman you weren't supposed to marry. The halach is yoitzi beget. It's the same sheet as Rav Meir. The Rav Meir says if somebody married a muberes or menekes chaveroi, the halach is even if you wait the appropriate time, it doesn't matter. Once you engaged in a marriage you weren't supposed to engage in, so the halach is yoitzi v'lo yachzer olamis. So even though Rabbi Eliezer was discussing the sugi in Yevamis and Rav Meir was discussing a completely different halacha, but Amar Rav, Rav Meir, Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Davar Echad, Amar Le'Abayas, Abaya told Rav, disagree. Me, my Dilma, could be, no. Could be Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold Rameya doesn't hold Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, at kanli come Rabbi Eliezer hach, when Rabbi Eliezer says halacha, elo, mishon, the kapaga b'esteishas achtei reis, and our Mishnah, we're dealing with a person that violated an iser to get married, which is infringing upon deiraisis, because in the event that this child's going to be a flachel kayama, it's going to come out she's an eishes ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. She's a real erva. Oh, she's a real erva. Over here, Rabbi Eliezer says you violated a suffik erva. You got involved in a suffik eishes ach. So over there, yoitzi beget. Aval hasam over there. The iser to marry a muberes chaveri menekes chaveri derabanan. All it is an iser derabanan, and being that all it is an iser derabanan, maybe rabbanan sfirle, maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Rabbanon that the halach is he doesn't necessarily have to give her a get. Inami atkan come Rabbi Meir Hassam. You can go for carrot as well. When did Rabbi Meir say that yoytziv le yachzrei lamas? That's elamishum the Rabbanon, because over there we're dealing with this in the Rabbanon, and this is something you find sometimes. V'chachamim asu chizik ledivreyim yoysim mishal toir. Even though in a vacuum isur de raisa a more chamer than isur de Rabbanon, but sometimes the Rabbanon impose certain chumras with regards to their dinim, more so than it relates to dinei deiraisa. And the reason is because the Rabbanu were afraid that if they wouldn't enforce certain restrictions and certain gedarim on their dinim, nobody would take them seriously. Deiraisas people take seriously anyways. The Rabbanu not so much. And that's why, as counterintuitive as it might be, sometimes you find chachamim asu chizik ledivreyem yoisim mishal tair. Incidentally, in different gemaras, sometimes you find deraisas are treated more stringently than the rabbanans. Most cases, sveikah deraisa l'chumra, sveikah rabbanan l'kula, etc. Sometimes you find that when the chachamim made a takana, they did it ke'in deraisa. So they said that even though it's only the rabbanan, and the rabbanans are often more kuladik than deraisas, but you should treat it as if it's a deraisa. And then you have this. But either way, Zok to Gemara, Abaya talking that maybe Rameir was so machmer because he was dealing with an iser that he was afraid people wouldn't take seriously. So therefore, to make sure that the Olam understood that this is real, so he said, don't marry a muberes chaver, menekes chaver, and if you do, we're going to force you to get divorced, and not just say you're never going to be able to get married again. Aval hocho, but over here, in our Mishnah Midei Raisa, we're dealing with a Sofik Chavi Krisa, Sofik Erva, Mifresh Parshim, you know, people know by themselves to be Parish. Now, this person wasn't Peseder, Enochinami, but not necessarily does that mean that we have to go ahead and we have to be so Machmer. So Machlik is Abai V'Rava, whether Rabbi Eliezer and Rameir are Amru Davar Echad or Loy Amru Davar Echad. At first glance, it would seem like they're saying something very similar. That was what Rava said. Abai said, true, similar, but at the same time, Rabbi Eliezer is dealing with a din d'iraisa, Rameh is dealing with a din d'rabbanon, and it's possible to argue that the d'iraisa is more chomer than the d'rabbanon, as it often is. And fakert, you could even say chachom and masu chizak l'devreim yoyse mishal toira, like you sometimes find. So it's not muchach that Rabbi Eliezer and Rameh would hold up each other's opinions. Amar Rava, Rava said one more knetch as it relates to this gemara, and that is, we just mentioned the b'raisa. Machlik is Rameh and the chachomim. A person is not allowed to marry Muberes Chaveroi and Meinektes Chaveroi. What happens if he does? So Rameir says, Yoitzi, the lo yachzeroi lomis. He can never marry her again. The Chachamim said, Yoitzi. However, Ulikishiagiyaz manoi lichnois yichnois. So Rava clarified. He said, Uldiri Chachamim. Chachamim said, Yoitzi. However, once she's not a Muberes, once she's not a Meinektes, then they can live together. But during that interim period, Yoitzi a beget. You have to give a get. Meaning, you could have thought, Yoitzi just means separate. And then, when you're allowed to live together, you'll live together. You have to give a get, and then you have to make another chasana. Why do you have to go through all these pains? Says Ravana. Even the Chachamim hold Yetziya beget. Mazutra said, Ekanami. It's Meduik that way from the Braisa. The Ketani, because what's the Braisa say? Yoitzi. V'loi Ketani Yafrish Shmamino. Yoitzi means that she has to leave. Yafrish means they simply separate. Yoitzi is Mashma beget. So that's where it's Mavur, that even though going to Rabbani, you can end up being able to be married to her again. However, you can have to first divorce her and then remarry her. Amalei Rav Ashni, the Rav Hoshia Berei de Ravidi. Rav Ashni told Rav Hoshia Berei de Ravidi. So this is all Me'inyan Le'inyan. Hasam Tanya. We learned over there in a brace. Shimon Gamliel said, Kol shnesha ba'adam lamed yoyim, enoy nefel. If a child lives 30 days, the child is not considered a nefel. Ha'loisha. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if the child would not live 30 days, sveika havi, it would be a suffix. Now, the specific case that Rav Shimon Gamliel was discussing is discussed in Masechta Shabbos. This is a gemara in the end of Perek Rebbe Eliezer de Milo. That's where the primary sugya of this shitas Rav Shimon Gamliel is. And the gemara over there clarifies, just the maskana, because that's all we need. We're talking about a child that was born, and there's a suffix whether it was kalulei chadashav or like kalulei chadashav. So kalulei chadashav means this was a full-term baby. Like kalulei chadashav means it wasn't a full-term baby, which once upon a time was considered ma'od misukan. It was considered very, very dangerous. So this child was born, and it was like kalulei chadashav, which means that there's a chashash, a real chashash, that this child might not really be able to live. Now, how are we going to determine whether the child is a bar kayama or not a bar kayama? We wait 30 days. That's the rule. That's the halacha. If the child lives 30 days, it's a bar kayama. If the child doesn't live 30 days, then igloy milsa that it wasn't a bar kayama. Now, what if it lives 30 days and then on day 31 something happens? It is what it is. But really, the litmus test is, does it live 30 days or does it not live 30 days? So the first 30 days is the critical tkufa to determine whether this child is a child or this child is not a child. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel was discussing where the child was born and there was a suffix whether it was kalulei chadashav or loy kalulei chadashav. There was a sveika. That's the sveika. There was a suffix whether it was kalulei chadashav, loy kalulei chadashav. And then what ended up happening is this child ended up being eaten, rachmanu litzlan, by a wild animal, or it fell off a roof. So it ended up dying. So really we don't know whether this child was going to live out the 30 days or not live out the 30 days. Ordinarily, we would just wait 30 days. That's what we're supposed to do. If it's loy kalu loy chadashav, we wait 30 days. And if it's suffix, whether it's kalu loy chadashav or loy kalu loy chadashav, we wait 30 days. But what happened over here is the child ended up dying in a way that really gives us no insight as to whether it was kalu loy chadashav, loy kalu loy chadashav, whether it was a nafel or whether it wasn't a nafel. So the question now is, how do we treat this child? Do we treat this child as a bar kayam or not a bar kayam? Now, l'may nafkemino. So depending on what sugya you're learning, that's going to dictate what the nafkemino is. We're learning yavamas. So in yavamas, vasa the nafkemino is, what happens? Ki yeshfu achim yachtov, umeis achad mehem, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven dies. And he leaves over a child. But this child was a child that there was a suffix kalulei chadashav, loy kalulei chadashav, and toich shloishim yoim nafal min agag ochlei ari. So do we look at this as a child, or do we not look at it as a child? So again, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, kol shesha ba'adam lamed yoim in a nefel. If the child would live 30 days, it wouldn't be a nefel. Haloi shah. Otherwise, sveika havi, it would be a suffix. Which basically means that this yevama Eshet Ruvain is a Safik Yavama. She's a Safik, not Yavama. The Itmar says the Gemara. We learned as a follow-up to Rav Shimon Gamliel's Halacha. What happens if the child dies within 30 days? Va'amdav in Niskatsha. And she got up and she got married. Ravina, which made the Rav. Amar Ravina said in the name of Rava, in Eshet Yisraeli, if the man that was Mekadesher is a Yisrael, so then the halach is chaletzes, we tell her to get chalitza. V'meishas koyen he, however, if the man was a koyen, ain't a chaletzes. In this case, we don't require to get chalitza. Meaning, it sounds like this woman is a safik yivama, safik not yivama. So if she went ahead and she got married to somebody, she shouldn't just be able to stay married, because what happens if the child was really not a ben kayama? It turns out that she's a yavama, so we would have a problem. So really what we're saying now is a very big chiddush. We're saying that umdam and iskacha, even though in theory we seem to have a suffix here, but we're not necessarily going to treat it that way. If she married a Yisrael, so then Enochinami, then the halach is going to be chaletzes. However, if she married a koyein, then we say don't do chalitza. The reason is because a koyein is not allowed to marry a chalitza. So once she does chalitza, she won't be able to live with the koyein anymore. So really, by telling her to get chalitza misafik, you're basically saying that you can't live with this man that was just mekadesh you. So therefore, in a chaletzes, don't worry about it. Rav Sharshi said in the name of Rava, achazuf, achazuf chaletzes. Not in both cases, doesn't matter if she married a Yisrael or she married a koyein. She's a safik. So if she's a safik, there's no way she's allowed to get married to anybody unless she has chalitza. So it was a machloikis, Ravina Mishmei de Rava, and Rav Misharshia Mishmei de Rava. Ravina said in the name of Rava, a chiddish, that this woman who seems to be a Safik Yivama, or is not supposed to get married, but if she marries a Kohen, just stay married and don't even get chalitza to be mafkia the Zavit, because if you get chalitza, you're not going to be able to stay married to your husband. Rav Misharshia Mishmei de Rava said, no, what does that mean? It's not a hefkervelt. If there's a Safik, there's a Safik. And therefore, achazuf, achazuf, chalitza. So Amalei Ravina, Rav Misharshia. Ravina told Rav Misharshia, Ba'urta Amar Rava Hachi. It's true. What you're saying now, that achazuf, achazuf, chalitza, you heard it from Rava. Rava said it at night. Problem is, you didn't come to Beis Medrash in the morning. And had you come to Beis Medrash in the morning, you would have known that Rava retracted his halacha. But in the morning, he was chayzer. And he said that if she marries a kohen, then she doesn't need chalitza. And I'm paskining based on what Rava said after the retraction in the morning. You heard that from Ravino. He said, Sharisu, really? Rava said, it's muta yehi rabba de tishra aftarba. Give you a bracha. One day you should even be mater chaylev, which is not a bracha. And he's being very sarcastic, and he's saying, if you're going to be matter, this suffix, Yavam al-Shok, to stay married to a Koyin without Chalitza, because if you do Chalitza, you're going to mess up her marriage, one day you're going to end up being matter Chalif. But the bottom line is, Siddah is a Chiddush. There's a Chiddush that even though this woman is technically a Safik, Gemara's going to explain in a moment how this could all be possible. But even though technically she's a Safik, whether she's allowed to stay married to this man, so really what should you do when you have a Safik in Yavama? Just do Chalitza, and like this you'll alleviate any Safik Yavama. But if she's married to a Kohen and she does Chalitza, so she won't be able to stay married to the Kohen anymore. So we allow her to stay married. That's the bottom line. So what does it have to do with our Sugya? Zok to Gemara, Hachamai. What's going to be the Halacha as it relates to our Sugya? Which case, Gabi Muberes Chaveroi Umineches Chaveroi Hanesu L'Koyin, if a man went ahead and he violated the halacha of Lo Yisra Adam Uberes Chaveroi Umineches Chaveroi, he married her anyways. So Smachlis Remein the Chacham. Remeir says he has to give her a get for Lo Yachzer Olamas. The Chachamim say Yoitzi, and then once she's not a Muberes, once she's not a Meineches, he could take her back. And what does Yoitzi mean? The Gemara clarified. Amar Rava. Rava himself said Yoitzi a beget. It means you give her a get, and then you take her back. So here was the shaila. What happens if this person that married the Muberes Chaveri, the Menekes Chaveri, was a Kayan? If he's a Kayan and he gives her a get, which is what the Chachamim want you to do, just spend the next few months, and then you'll marry her again. He'll never be able to marry her again, because a Kayan's not allowed to marry a Grusha, even his own Grusha. He can't even be Machzik Grusha. So that's the question. The question is, me, Avad Rabbanu, the Kantel, Kayan Eloi, on the Tzad, that Rava said that in the event that this Safik Yavama marries a Kohen, you can stay married without Chalitza, because if you do a Chalitza, you won't be able to stay married. So we see we made a Takanto L'Koyen, so maybe we'd make the Takanto L'Koyen over here as well, and we would say that this person that went ahead and married Muberes Chaver Menach Chaver, even though Me'ikra Din is supposed to give her a get and remarry her, but being that he's a kohen, if he gives her a get, he can't remarry her, so maybe Chazal would allow her to stay without a get. That was the shayla. Amalei told him, Hachiash, it's not a tzushta. Bishloima hasam, bishloima over there. By the way, who's talking? Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Hoshi, Breda Ravidi. So Rav Ashi was the one who posed the question to Rav Hoshi, Breda Ravidi. So Rav, in the beginning of the Gemara, Rav Hoshi, Breda Ravidi is responding to Rav Ashi. He told him, it's not a tzushtal, the two cases. It's a geshmak echad, but it's not a tzushtal. And he said, the reason is, because over there, Kivin Iker Rabban, the Pliga Leder, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amri, Afagaf Leishov, Vlad Ma'al Yahavi, Rav Shimon Gamliel is a das yachid. He holds that if there's a child that was nafal min agaga achle ari toich shloishim yoyim, where there's a safik if it was kol leichadashav anat, so in that case we're machmer and we assume that maybe this child was going to be kol leichadashav. But the rabbanon argue. The rabbanon say that if there's a safik, we assume it's a vlad ma'alya. So being that really the chachamim hold that the child's a vlad ma'alya, it's only Rav Shimon Gamliel that was machmer that says it's a safik. So Gabi Eish is Koyin, Kibin Dolayev, Shavdin and Kirabonon. So Rava was Mekel and said that let this woman not need Chalitza, not because, oh, it's a Sufik and we're just going to mess you up moving forward, so don't do Chalitza. Chas v'shalom, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, of course you would have to do Chalitza. But it's because really the Rabbanon argued with Rav Shimon Gamliel. And although lechatchila we would be machmer like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but over here where it's Loyev, sure, Shavdin and Kirabonon, we're going to go like the Rabbanon. And that's why we say you don't need Chalitza. Aval Hoch over here, Kaman Navid. But over here you have no one to be Simechon. You want to make a takanta for the koyin, you'd say, don't give a get because you're a koyin, you're not going to be able to marry her back. No, everyone holds you need a get. Right? We have two opinions in the sugya. One opinion is Rameir. Rameir says, give a get, never marry her again. Chum say, give a get, and if you want, you can be machzik rishasai. But there's no one to be soimachon by saying, don't give a get. Right? Who are you going to go? Like, ikra meyer hama yoytze vilei achzor elamis. You have to give her a get, you can never marry again. Ikra rabbanon, going to rabbanon, amri beget. Rabbanon say, you need a get. So there's no one to be soimachon, and because there's no one to be soimachon, there's no makam over here to make a takanta lirabbanon. The only reason we made a takanta, not the Rabbanan, the Kohanim in the previous Gemara, is because over there you have a Chachamim to be Seimachan. The whole issue was, in Shittas Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel is a Das Yochid anyways. Yeah, Lechatchilo, we go like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's what Rava held. But at the same time, B'di'eved, Kedai, HaChachamim, HaRabim, and therefore, if it's a situation of a Kayan where if you're going to require Chalitza, he won't be able to stay married to her, so therefore we say, don't do Chalitza. But over here, there's no one to be Simechon. Everyone holds you have to give a get. So you're going to say, you know what, we're going to bypass the halacha. Even though the halacha in Shulchan Aruch says you have to give a get, yeah, but if he gives her a get, he won't be able to remarry her. And what are you supposed to do? It's unfortunate. He wasn't supposed to marry her, and Chazal made a takana. To make a takanta l'kayhanim, when you have no one to be soimachan, there's no precedent for that. And therefore, the halacha is going to be, he sich has to give a get. One more gemara on this note, itmar kitchen b'toich shloisha. What happens if someone was mekadesh an isha within 3 months from when she had been previously married? So he violated the halacha of hafchana, ubarach, and then he ran away. Which means that it's clear there's not going to be nesuin now. He did kedushin, but there's not going to be nesuin. Now really, the halacha of hafchana states he can't even do kedushin. Because if you do Kedushin, it's going to lead to Nisun. But this person did Kedushin, then he did do Nisun. So the question is, could they stay married? Could they not stay married? Ordinarily, if someone marries a woman within 3 months, we force them to get married. But here he was Barach. Because he was Barach, maybe it's different. So Pligi Barach, Rav was Machlik, Rav Acha, Rav. Chadam, one send this Shamtin on that we put him in Cherim, which means for us, we force him to give a get. I mean, it means in Cherim as well. But what we need is we force him to give a get. The Chadam of the other one said, Iruke Mistaya. Because of the fact that he ran away, it's clear he doesn't plan on doing Nisuin. And if he doesn't plan on doing Nisuin, there's no reason to force him to give a get. Now, we don't know who said what. It was a Machlokes Rav Acha Rafram Chadamar Chadamar. So, who said what? So the Gemara says, I can tell you from a Maisa Shahaya. Because it was a real story, and Rafram presided over the Shaila, and he paskin the Iruke Mistaya. He said that once the man runs away, so at that point, you don't have to be worried. So clearly, Rafram is the one that said, so going back to the Mishnah says, what happens if someone was koines es yevimtai? V'nimtzes mu beres, v'yolda. The Vlad was a Vlad shel kayom. However, there was a suffix, whether it was a ben tishel rishon or a ben shiva l'achrin. We have a suffix, who the father of this child is. Was the father of the child Ruvain, the rishon, or was the father of the child Shimon, the achrin? Who is the father of the child? Was it a full-term baby, 9 months, and the father is this woman's first husband? Or maybe it was born to 7 months, and the father is really Shimon, it's the second husband. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah laid out the halacha. Number one, yoitz. Number one, Shimon's not let us stay married to Eishes Reuven. Why? Because on the tzad that the child is the child of Reuven, it comes out that she's not a Yavama, she's an Eishes Ach Shalei B'Makam Mitzvah. Eishes Ach Shalei B'Makam Mitzvah, you're not let us stay married. That's easy. Vavlad Kosh is up the Mishnah. The Vlad's going to be a Kosh. It's also Poshet. Because if the child was Reuven's child, So, zicher Vlad Kosher. When Reuven fathered the child, there was no shilas even. If it's Shimon's child, that means that when Reuven died, he left over no children. Which means that Eshes Reuven was a regular Yavama. If she was a Yavama, so not only was this not Eshes Achshaloi B'makom Mitzvah, he was B'makayim, one of the mitzvahs in the Torah of Yavama Yavayola. So therefore the child is also going to be a kosher. So Maman of Shach, the child's going to be a kosher. And finally, the Chayavin Ba'ashem Tali. This man is going to have to bring an Ashem Tali. She too, by the way. Chayavin is a Lashon Rabbim. They're both going to have to bring an Ashem Tali. The reason is because they have a suffix whether or not she was a Yavama, which means they have a suffix. The flip side of that coin is whether she's an Eshes Ach Shaloi B'Makom Mitzvah. On the Tzad, she's an Eshes Ach Shaloi B'Makom Mitzvah. They would have to bring a Chatos because Eshes Ach B'Mezid is Chayv Krisus, which means B'Shoigig it's Chayv Chatos. Now that it's a Sofik, anytime you have a Sofik, if you have to bring a Karban Chatos, what do? You bring an Ashem Taloi. So that's what the mission says. Yoitzi can't stay married because Sofik Eshes Ach Shaloi B'Makom Mitzvah. Havlat Kosher M'mon of Shach Ashem Taloi, because it's a Sofik whether or not the Bia was a Bia's Mitzvah, or whether it was a bias chai b'krisis, it happened b'shoigig, only a suffik, and therefore you bring an ashram tal. Zok de gemar. Amalei Rav the Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman the following question. A lot of Rav in today's daf. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, he says, I don't understand. A baby was born. We don't know if it's Reuven's child or if it's Shimon's child. Is it 9 months to Reuven? Or is it 7 months to Shimon? Zok de gemar. Oleima. Halechach ha-roiv nashim. V'roiv nashim l'tishli yodim. Why don't we say roiv? Roiv women give birth to 9 months, not to 7 months. So based on roiv, let's assume that it must be a tishli rishon. And it's for sure Reuven's child. Roiv is machriya sfeikos in kol ha-Torah kula. Why can't it be machriya yavama shayla? We should assume that for sure it's Reuven's child. And if it's Reuven's child, so she's not a yavama, right? With all the implications of how it's going to play out. So this was Rav's question to Rav Nachman. Amalei. So Rav Nachman told Rav, Nashi didan l'shiva yaldin. He says, the women around here, they give birth to 7 months. Amalei. So Rav told him, Nashi didchu haveru b'dalma. It's very nice that the women over here in this neighborhood, they give birth l'shiva. Oh, but they're not ruba d'alma. They're still arrive in the world. And that should be machriya d'shaiva. Amalei. So he told Hachi Kamin. And he says, no. Rav, you didn't understand what I meant to say. What I meant to say was, Rav Nashi yaldin l'tisha. It's true. There's a rive of women that give birth after 9 months. Umiyat l'shiva. But there's a miyat of women that give birth to 7 months. Okay. Here's the punchline. The chola yeledes letisha, all women that give birth to 9 months, ubrin nikker l'shlish yomer. The child would be nicker after 3 months, meaning 3 months into the pregnancy, you would notice the child. Now, v'zuha yovalei hukar ubrin l'shlish yomer. This woman, after 3 months, it was not noticeable that she was pregnant. How do you know that? Because if it was noticeable, you wouldn't have a shayla. You'd know exactly who the father of the child is. So clearly it was nicker. So Israel Ruba, so therefore there's no rife. It makes a reyes in the rife. And if it makes a reyes in the rife, that's why you can't be machriya the rife. So Rav followed up to Rav Nachman. He says, if that's what you meant, then I have a different question. If it's true that every single woman that gives birth to 9 months, the uber's nicker after 3 months, then ha, this woman mid, the lehu kalushalish yomel, being that it wasn't nicker after 3 months, because again, if it was nicker, we wouldn't have a shayla, uber vada bashivala basrohu, then for sure she should be Bar Shiva the Basra, for sure she should be Shimon's child. Elamus Rav Nachman says, now let me tweak it one more time, and this is the final answer. It's true there's a rive of women that give birth for 9 months. And based on that, we should assume the rive. Rive ayoledes letisha ubra nikolish lishyomel. That's true. Abavahai middle hookalish lishyomel Israel Ruba. Meaning, rive women are yoldis letisha. But roiv women that are yoldis letisha ubra nikolish lishyomel, right? Both very obvious rives. Most women have a baby after being pregnant for 9 months. Most women that are pregnant for 9 months, a third of the tkufa into the pregnancy, the child's already going to be nicker. Now, over here, there was no Vlad that was nicker. So what are you going to tell me? You have the roiv of Yoldis Letitia? Yeah, but Umazed, there's a roiv that how come the Vlad was a nicker? So the two roivs cancel each other out, and what you're left with is a suffix. It's related to Ruba. And for that reason, you can't be Saimach on any roivs. That's the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan and Abraisa. What happens, Zokt the Gemara? Here's the background. Again. So, Shimon was Miyabim Eshes Reuven. V'nimtzas Mu'beres. V'yolda. The child was a Vlad Ben Kayama. But then there was a Safik. Is it a Ben Tesla Rishon? Or is it Ben Shival Achron? So the Mishnah said that as it relates to the child, Maman of Shach, the child's going to be a Kasher. Why? Because if it's a Ben Tishal Rishon, so then there's no problem. It was Reuven's child. And even if it's a Ben Shival Achron, that means Reuven never had a child, if Reuven never had a child, she was a Yavama. If she was a Yavama, so again, the child is a kosher. So Maman of Shach, this child is going to be a kosher. The Gemara is going to bring a Braisa now that's going to discuss what happens if after this, Shimon had another child with Eishes Reuven. So there's now another child in the picture. Now that second child is already going to be a questionable child. Why? Because in the event that the first child is Eishes Reuven, if the first child is Reuven's son, so if the first child is Reuven's son, so it comes out Eishes Reuven was not a Yavam. If Eishes Reuven was not a Yavama, she's an Eishes Ach Shaloi B'Makim Mitzvah. So that means if Shimon now had a child with Eishes Reuven, the child is going to be a Mamz. If, however, the first child was really Shimon's child, so it comes out that Eishes Reuven really never had a child with Reuven, which means she's a Yavama. If she's a Yavama, so she's mutter to Shimon, that means any child that Shimon has with her is going to be a Kasha. So the first child, the child of the Mishnah, the child that came from that hakoynis liyavimtei v'nimtzas muberes m'mon of shachav la'akasha. But if there's another child that's going to be born later, that's poshit, that child is going to be a suffolk. Why? Because we have no idea who the father of the first child is, which means we have a suffolk whether or not Eishes Reuven is muteres l'shimon or not, which means that any child that's going to be born is going to be a suffolk mamzer. Rishon, the first child that was born, the child of under the Mishnah, Roy Leois Kain Gadol. He could be Kain Gadol, meaning his yichus is perfect, even though he doesn't know who his father is. But based on a Mammon of Shach, he has good yichus, and therefore, in the world of Asar Yuchsen, he's even Roy to be a Kain Gadol. Vesheni, the second child, Mamza Misafik, is a Mamza Safik, like we just spoke at. Rav Lezman Yaakov argued, he said, Ain Mamza Misafik. No, not a Mamza Misafik. So, my comrade, what did Rav Lezman Yaakov mean? Now, can't mean what he said, because Ein Mamza Misafik, it's Pashu, Rav Lezer Yaakov agrees with the cheshbon we just made. I mean, this is easy math. There's no way to deny it. It's not questionable. For sure, the second child is a Mamza Misafik. So what did Rav Lezer Yaakov mean when he said Ein Mamza Misafik? So the Gemara is going to bring a machlokes Abaye v'Rav. Amar Abaye said, Hachikar. This is what Rav Lezer Yaakov meant to say. Rishon Roy Leitz Kohen Gadol, V'sheni Safik Mamza Vasim Mamzeres. The Tanakam of the Braisa holds that the first child is a man of Shachakasha, can even be the Kohen Gadol. The second child is a Safik Mamzer, therefore Asa B'Mamzeres. Meaning, a Mamzer is lo yovel b'kal, right? He's not allowed to enter into the kal. But a mamzer can marry a mamzeres. What about a suffolk mamzeres? Could a mamzer marry a suffolk mamzeres, or could a suffolk mamzer marry a mamzeres? So the Tanakhama says Abaya holds no. So the child is a suffolk mamzer, which means the osab mamzeres can't even marry a mamzer. It can't marry anybody, because even to marry a suffolk mamzeres is going to be a problem, because maybe the suffolk mamzeres is really a mamzeres and you're not, right? So basically, this person not going to be able to marry anybody. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, "Einoi suffolk mamzer," and he's not a suffolk mamzer. What does that mean? Of course, he's a suffolk mamzer. El vaday mamzer. We treat him like a vaday mamzer. Umutab mamzeres. He's going to be mutab mamzeres. In other words, Abaye said that the machloekis Rabbi Lezer Yaakov and the Chachamim is not a machloekis in the mitzvahs of our Mishnah. The Yevamis math, everything that we just spoke out is again, it's undeniable. So for sure, the first child is a kosher. For sure, the second child is a suffolk mamzer. Really, what they're arguing about is the halachic status of a suffolk mamzer. And this machloikis, which is here in Yevam Islamet Zion, could have very easily been in Perek Asar Yuchsin. It could be anywhere where the Gemara talks about Dinei Mamzeres. It happens to be here because it's Negeya under the Mishnah. But Be'etzim, it's something that's Negeya, really, Kol HaTorah Kula, as it relates to the halachic status of a Safik Mamzer. And what's the machloikis? According to the Chachamim, a Safik Mamzer is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres, which would make sense. Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov says a Chiddush that just like a Vadai Mamzer can marry a Mamzeres, so too a Safik Mamzer could also marry a Mamzeres. Rava said, the same beer in the Braisa of a punk fakert. He's going to flip the sheetas. Hachi coming. This is where you read the Braisa. Rishon, the first child, royally is Kohen Gadol, is for sure kosher. The Sheni, the second child, Mamzer Vaday Misafik. He's a Safik Mamzer. And what does that mean? Umutab Mamzeres. He's allowed to marry Mamzeres. Lezman Yaakov says, Ein Vaday Mamzer Misafik, El a Safik Mamzer. No such thing as a Vaday Mamzer Misafik. Rather, the child is a Safik Mamzer. Vasim Mamzeres is going to be Asim Mamzeres. And no, the Bai Rabba both said that the Machlois Lezman Yaakov and the Chachamim is in, with regards to the halachic status of a Safik Mamzer, is a Safik Mamzer Mutab Mamzeres or is it Asab Mamzeres? The shaila only is who held what. According to Abaya, the Tanakama, the Chachamim hold Safik Mamzes Asa b'Mamzeres. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is the Mekel. He holds Safik Mamzes Mutter b'Mamzeres. According to Rav, it's just the opposite. The Tanakama, the Chachamim, are Mekel. They hold Safik Mamzes Mutter b'Mamzeres. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that a Safik Mamzes Asa b'Mamzeres. Up to Gemara, become Niflegi by the Rabbi Lazar. This Machloikis is really Talui in something Rabbi Lazar said. Now, what do we mean? This Machloikis, the Machloikis of who said what. Whether it was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that was Mekel and the Chachamim were Machmer, or whether the Chachamim were Mekel and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was Machmer. And the reason this is Nogeya, the background to this next Gemara is, we know the rule. Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavanaki, which means we cannot always paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So the Gemara is going to say that the Hezbra and the Machloikis, Abaye v'Rava, who said what, isn't like an arbitrary Machloikis. Right? The names matter in Shas, as we talk about all the time. So, which is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov has huge ramifications. You know why? Because we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And being that we paskin Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, essentially, Machlokes Abaye v'Rava is not just Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say this or say that. It's not a historical fact. It's who do we paskin like? So Abaye v'Rava, as they take sides as to what was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's opinion in this sugya, it's just another way of saying who's the halacha like. And really, it boils down to a Mishnah, something Rabbi Eliezer discussed. Tnan, we learned in the Mishnah, and this is in Perek Asori Yuchsin in the end of Masechtes Kedushin. Rabbi Eliezer says, Vadon bevadon mutter. Vaday mamzer is allowed to marry a vaday mamzer. Vadon besfeikon, a vaday mamzer and a sofik mamzer. Usfeikim bevadon, a sofik mamzer and a vaday mamzer. Usfeikim besfeikim, or a sofik mamzer, osir is all going to be osir. So, quint Rabbi Eliezer, a vaday mamzer can marry a vade mamzeres. However, sveik vade and a sofik, and even a sofik is going to be a problem. Elohim sveik. What's an example of a sofik mamzer? Shtuki vaasufi vekuti. So, what's a shtuki? A shtuki. Rashi says shakira ove v'imay meshaskesai. Right? He thinks his father is his father. This is the man that's raising him. But whenever he says father to his father, his mother says quiet, meaning he's not really your father. So, who's his father? Avesnisht. And because of that, so in halacha we look at him as a sofik mamzer. What's an asufi? Rashi says shenesaf. This is a child that was found on the side of the road. We don't know who the father is. And because of the fact that he was abandoned the way he was, this child, it gives us reason to believe that maybe there was a mamzer issue over here. And therefore, we view him in Allah as a safik mamzer. A kuti, stam kutiim, Rashi says, was safik mamzerim. A chiddush in the world of kuti. And Rashi gives an interesting reason why. Because they were not makbid on kedushay kesef and kedushay shtar. Rashi says, how do you know isha niktas bekesef? The most famous gzeira shava in Shas. Kicha mizdei efren. So they didn't hold it a gzeira shava, because it's teresh of alpeh. So they held kedushay kesef wasn't a kedushay kesef, which eventually led to issues of mamzeris, or safik mamzeris. But the bottom line is, what's examples of safik mamzeris? Shtuki, asufi, and kuti. Zok to Gemar. V'amir Rabbi Yehuda, my Rabbi. Yehuda said the name of Rabbi, Allah, Rabbi Laza. Allah is like Rabbi Laza. That a mamzer is allowed to marry a mamzeris, but not a Safik Mamzeres, and even a Safik Mamzer can't marry a Safik Mamzeres. That was Rabbi Loz's halacha, and Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, in other words, Rav, Paskin like Rabbi Loz. Kamrita Kamei Shmuel, when this halacha was said over to Shmuel, Amalik, Shmuel said the following, meaning Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav, we know, and then he went to learn by Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda's talking, he said, Kamrita, when I said this over in the presence of Shmuel, Amalik, Shmuel told me, Hil Shana Asar Yuchsan Al Mibav, Hil taught a famous Mishnah. He said there were 10 Yuchsan, there were 10 levels of Yichos that went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. What were they? Kayhani, Levi of Yisraeli, straightforward. Chalali, right, that's a child that's born where the father's a Kayan, and the mother's someone that a Kayan wasn't allowed to marry, such as a Gurusha. Geiri, that's a Ger. Charuri, that's an Evet Kanani that was freed. Mamzeri. Nesini, these were the Nesinim, the Geirim from the times of Yeshua Benon. Shtuki Vasufi, we just explained them. So these are the Asara Yuchsen. So Asara Yuchsen, Alami Bava. The Kula Mutarin, Lavi Zebezet. And they're all allowed to intermarry with each other. Now Rashi says right away, quoting the Gemara Kedushin, of course they're not allowed to all intermarry with each other. What, a Kayan's allowed to marry a mamzer and a shtuki is allowed to marry a levi, abandon it. So Rashi explains what it means. But the point is, within this 10 groups, there are subgroups that are allowed to marry with each other. Kula mutarna zebezeb means everyone's allowed to get married to somebody. The question is how you divvy up the group. Again, there's a Rashi here that goes through it very, very straightforwardly. But either way, so Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, he said, Hillel was the one that said over this Mishnah. He said, Kula mutarna lovi zebezeb, amrit alach Rabbi Lazar. So how can you say that Allah is like Rabbi Lazar? Why? Because Rabbi Lazar holds that a vaday mamzer is not allowed to marry a Safik mamzer. He even holds a Safik mamzer can't marry a Safik mamzeres. If that's the case, the Asufi, who's a Safik Mamzer, wouldn't be able to marry anybody. Can't marry someone that's not a Mamzer. Can't marry a Vaday Mamzer. Can't even marry another Asufi, right? A Nekeva. Because Safik b'safik is aser. So what does it mean? Kula mutar lavi b'zebzeh. Same is true for the shtuki. So how's it going to work out? So Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, I hear Rav paskin like Rav Elazar that vaday mamzer is aser b'safik mamzer. And a Sufik Mamzer is even also a Sufik Mamzeres, but I respectfully disagree. And the reason I disagree is not because I have places to argue with a Mishnah. I can't go connected Rabbi Lazar. But I know what Hillel said, and I'm going like Hillel. So you paskining, you're saying over from Rav that he held like Rabbi Lazar, Ichalt Azoy vi Hillel. Bottom line is, so what do you see from here? There seems to be a machloikis whether a Vaday Mamzer is allowed to marry a Sufik Mamzeres, or not allowed to marry a Sufik Mamzeres. Rabbi Lazar said no, and Hillel said yeah. And there was a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether we paskin like Rabbi Lazar, we paskin like Hillel. Rav paskin like Rabbi Lazar, Shmuel paskin like Hillel. But the bottom line is there was a machlokes, what the halacha said. The Gemara says, Gishmak, Abaya, Savaloka Shmuel, Abaya held like Shmuel, Damalacha ke Hillel. That the halacha is like Hillel. So that a Vaday Mamzer is allowed to marry a Safik Mamzeres. So if a Vaday Mamzer is allowed to marry a Safik Mamzeres like Hillel, so who would he want Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov to hold like that Shita? Because, like we said, Mishas Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is Kavanoki, because we always paskin with Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. So Makul Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, so therefore, he was the one that made Rabbi Lezer Yaakov hold that that's the halacha. Because otherwise, you would have a kasha between the two halachas. You pass with Lezer Yaakov, you pass like Hillel. Rava suffered like Rav. Rava, however, held like Rav. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar that a Vaday Mamzer is allowed to marry a Vaday Mamzeres, but a Vaday Mamzer cannot marry a Safik Mamzeres. So if that's the case, who would he want Rabbi Lezer Yaakov to hold like? He would want him to hold like Rabbi Lazar, like Rava said. I mean, like Rabbi Lazar. It was Mukul Rabbi Lezer Yaakov, I'll the Hilchasa. So therefore, he had Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov hold that week, Echad like Tikshi, Hilchasa, Hilchasa. So like this, you won't have a stereo between the two halachas. Again, Machloikis Abayev and Rav had to understand the Machloikis, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim, the Shaila about the second child that would be born, where the first child was a Safik, Tisha L'Rishon and Shiva L'Achron. What is the Yisoid of the Shaila? It's not a Yevamah Shaila, but rather it's a Shas Shaila. It's a Shaila of how do you treat, how does Halacha treat a Safik Manzer? Everyone agreed that there's a machloek to Lezer Yaakov and the Chachamim, whether Safik Mamzer is allowed to marry a Vaday Mamzeres or not. The Shaila was, what did Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov hold, and what did the Chachamim hold? According to Abai, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov was the one that was Mekel. According to Rava, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov was the one that was Machmer. And really what it boils down to is, really, like we said, a more general Shaila, Safik Mamzer, Vaday Mamzeres, or Vaday Mamzer, Safik Mamzeres, Mutter, Aser, it was Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, which boiled down to a Machloikis Rabbi Lazar and Hillel, and Abayev and Rava were both trying to make Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov shtim with what they thought was the halacha. Zok Gemara Vayta, Amr Abayev. Abayev said, Mino Aminolo, the Chol Sveik of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kevadim Mashvile. How do I know that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that every single Safik Mamzer is treated like a Vaday Mamzer? We said that was Rabbi Eliezer, that was Abayev's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Lezer Yaakov is the Mekel. He's the one that holds that a Safik Mamzer is allowed to marry a Vaday Mamzeres, which is another way of saying that a Safik Mamzer is like a Vaday Mamzer, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to marry a Vaday Mamzeres. Teretz says you treat the Safik like a Vaday. Right? Sometimes you find this Chiddush that Safik is treated like Vaday. Safik Soita, Asua Kevaday, Safik Tomer Bishos Hayachit Sveika Tomei. Right? You have this concept sometimes. So what we're saying is that a Safik Mamzer is treated like a Vaday Mamzer. And Abaya learned in Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Abaya followed up and he said, I know for a fact, I have a Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov somewhere that I believe is saying this. What is that? The Tanya Tzabrais, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, Harishabal Noshim Harbe, if someone was born Noshim Harbe, many women, Ve'in Yoidea, Al'ezim Mehem Ba, and he doesn't even know who. Ve'chein Hi Shabo Allah, Noshim Harbe, there was a woman that many men were Ba Aleha, Ve'in Yoidas, Me'ezim Mehem Kiblo, and she doesn't know even who these men were. Nimtza, you know what could happen? It's very possible that a lot of children will be born from all these bias, and you're going to end up with an of that's noises bita. A father's going to end up marrying his daughter. V'ach noises achoisoy. A brother's going to marry a sister. V'nismalei kol oilam kulu mamzerim. And the world's going to be filled with mamzerim. V'azenema mol aretzimo. And this is what the pasuk meant when it said mol aretzimo. It's a pasuk in the Torah. This is what it was referring to. Mol aretzimo. A situation like this. Abaye tainid. I understand. This is a case of Nismali kala oilam kulei mamzerim. It's nismali kala oilam kulei sofik mamzerim. There's no vadi mamzerim over here. It's a sofik. We don't know. Maybe chvesnich could be a father's getting married. The Torah says, you know what you see from here? That a sofik mamzer is azevi avade mamzer. This was Abaye's right. Rava, Amalecha, Rava's going to tell you, hachi kamar. I hold just the opposite. Because what was the pasuk Rabbi Lezer Yaakov brought to make his point? Umal aret zima. You know what zima means? Zumahi. He was saying just the opposite. He was saying, "Nismalu kol ha'olam kulei Sofik Mamzerim. Zumahi Rashi. Two words. Loshin Sofik. It's a Loshin of Sofik. And that's what he was saying. So now he's saying Vadai to the contrary. I think it's a Raya to my Shita. Because the Pasik of Zima, that's a Loshin of Sofik. And it seems like that's what it is he's saying. Yes, okay, Rabbi Zmi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov said something else on this note. La Yisa Adam Isha Medina. So a person should not marry a woman in one Medina. V'yelech V'yisa Isha B'medina Acheres. And then marry someone in a Medina Acheres. Shem Yizdav Guzelazah. Because we're afraid that maybe the children of these two Zivugim are going to find each other, get married, and you're going to end up having a brother marrying a sister. And by the way, this is something that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The reason it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch is because pre-chem de Rabbeinu Gershom, where a person was allowed to marry two wives, so this was something that was a very, very nogeya halacha, and as a result, even though a man's allowed to marry two wives, but at the same time, he can marry two wives and two medinas. Now, this is something that could also be nogeya halacha gerushin, but the point is, this was a very important sif katan. Even pre-chem de Rabbeinu Gershom, there were a lot of limitations, a lot of restrictions on marrying multiple wives. This is a classic one. Oh, but that's what Elazar ben Yaakov said. Lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu, v'yelech v'yisa isha b'medina acher. Sfeik demar eini, is that true? V'harav, this is a classic. Iklu l'dar d'shir. When Rav came to dar d'shir, machuz v'amar, he would make the following achroz, a proclamation. He said, man havi l'yoyimu, who wants to be my wife for one day? Rav Nachman used to do the same thing, ki iklu l'shchantzim, machuz v'amar, he would say, man havi l'yoyimu. How was he allowed to do that? Rav got so now he's in Dar Deshir, Rav Nachman's in Shchantzev. So how could he do this? So the Gemara says, Shani Rabbanim, the Pekiyah Shmai. With Rabbanim, it's not a problem. Because if Rav would have had a child in Dar Deshir, or Rav Nachman would have had a child in Shchantzev, everybody would have known, oh, this is Rav's kid, it's Rav Nachman's kid. They were the G'dayli Adar. So the whole Chashash, Nimtzach, Noises Achoysai, would have never happened. But the Gemara says, how could that have even been possible? So it sounds like Rav went somewhere for one day, and he got married that day. Meaning, Man Havi L'Yayma, and then someone came forward, and he married her. Oh, my Rav, Rav said, Tavuli, if someone's teveh, a woman to get married, then a spice, and she agrees, she has to wait shivinakim, meaning we treat her as a nida because we're concerned that maybe she was so excited that she's going to get married, she was parsa nida. So what's the gasho? What do you mean? He shows up one day, man havi liyoyma, and all of a sudden he's getting married? L'chari, he's not allowed to get married for one day because maman of shach, she needs shivinakim. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan shluchayu have a meshadra moidulu. The Rabbanan, they would send people, agents, in advance to go set it up. So like this, the Tavua Linase had happened earlier. So by the time Rav came to Dar Deshir, Rav Nachman came to Shchantzev, at that point she had already sat Shivinakim. Iba Yisema, maybe you could say the Rabbani Yichude, Ba'al Mahudam Yachtilu, that really there was never a Biyah. And that would answer all the kashas. It would explain that he didn't violate this halacha of La Yisa Adam Isha Medina Zuv Yelch Yisa Isha Medina Acheres. And it also explains the fact that L'Cher she shouldn't need a Chiv and a Kiyim because all it was Yichud. Ah, if all it is Yichud, so had the Yichud help. The Amma Markus, Eini Adam Misha Yeshu Pas Basale, Misha Eini Pas Basale. They just wanted that Pas Basale. Now what's the obvious kasha? If there's an Isser Biyah, then there is no Pas Basale. Tais kasha. But the bottom line is this is the Gemara. Now this Gemara, of course, is a very hard Gemara to understand. If it sounds familiar, from this machzer, because we learned this Gemara together, Masechtas Yuma Daf Yudches, and then we spoke out a classic raid bite from Rav Reuven Margolis, brilliant, Bren Ben Oishal, brilliant, Pashut, to give a little bit of a hesper and a havana on this Gemara, so it's a related raid bite. Tana, Rav Lezim Yaakov, Rav Yaakov said, Lo Yisa Adam Ishtoi, another thing Rav Lezim Yaakov said, is a person not let her get married, the Daita Lagarsha, if his das is to give her a get. And just to be clear, there's lomdisha sugyas of if someone marries a woman and stipulates in the marriage, hayoyim at ishti ulamachar I at ishti. That's a problem because ishus is a kinyan guf, it's not a kinyan peiris. We spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, the Avni Meluim and Simen Yudches, ran in the Darim Daf Chavtes. That's not what we mean. We mean a person's getting married, kedas moishav yisrael, he stands under the chuppah, but in his mind, he knows daitei lagarsha. Right, like Echtava Asha, such a concept. In his mind, he's Daita Lagarsha, B'Shas Maisa, his Kavana already was to give her a get. So it's not something you're allowed to do. Mishum Shenerman, it's based on a pasuk in Mishle. You know, it comes down to like a code of ethics. Al Tachrish El Reyacha Ra, V'hu Yoyshev Lovet Achitach. A person should not be conniving. You shouldn't be thinking in your mind to do something bad to someone if this person is trusting you. Either way, three memories of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as it relates to these inyanim, inyanim related to ishus, inyanim related to marriage. And we're going to stop here. So just one ha'ara as it relates to a continuation of the raid of Daf Lamed Hei. So on Daf Lamed Hei, we mentioned the chakira of the Chacham Tzvi. The Gemara says, later in the Masechta, that if a Yavam and a Yavama do chalitza, the chalitzin is only going to be kosher at sheyischavnu shneim ke'echad. If both the yavam and the yavama have das at the time that the chalitzin is happening. However, if nischavnu v'lo nischavnahi, or nischavnahi v'lo nischavnu, chalitzasa psula, the chalitz is going to be possible. Again, actually, it's chavnu shneim keachot. The only time the chalitz is going to be kosher is if the two of them had proper kavana to do a proper chalitz. And the Chacham Tzvi in Simen Aleph, where he discusses a lot of very important sugyas and mesachtes yevamis, so over there he has a sofik. V'tzorech hakiras chacham, he says, ihach kavana de be'inam bechalitza. Hainu mitam de mitzvah. Is the kavana there midin kavanas mitzvah? Ukein kavanas ha mitzvah is the pasku roiv ha poiskim. The mitzvah striches kavan. Is that why the choylets and the chalutza, the yavim, the yavama have to have kavana at the time of the chalitza? Because chalitza is a mitzvah and mitzvah striches kavana. Oi, kein kavanas ha haknois. Or maybe the reason they have to have kavana is not because of a mitzvah and mitzvah shriches kavana, it's because chalitza is going to be matter this woman, l'shuk, v'koin es atzma b'chalitza. So because there's a kinyan taking place over here, be'inan das koin u'makna. So it's for that reason you need das koin u'makna. Uka oise sha'amru yuvamis lun beiz amid beiz, ha'oide b'nech se'ager, uka sovr sha'loi hein, loikani, mishum de loikani, mishum de loy mechavin l'mikni. If somebody would make a kinyan in someone else's field, like a hefker field, thinking it was his, he wouldn't be kainah, because you have to have das kinyan. So that was the Chacham Tzvi's chakira. The kavana that you have to have by chalitza, is it kavanas mitzvahs, or is it really kavanas kinyan? I saw the Beis Meir, who is mefalful in this Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, and he says, I think I have a raya from L'shoinoi Hazov Shal HaRambam, a beautiful dik. The Rambam is in Perek Dalet, Hilchas Yivam V'Chalitza, Halacha Ches. So the Rambam brings this halacha, and he says as follows, middle of a sifkatan, V'tzorech she'tischavin ha'yevama she'tach lo'itzloi. The Yevama has to have kavana when she receives the chalitza, v'yischavin hu she'yach lo'itzloi, and he has to have kavana as well, v'yasu ma'isim elu l'shma. And they have to do the Maisa Lishma. So the Beis Meir said, the Rambam's bringing this Gemara in Yevamos Kovavam and Aleph. But L'shoyna Yazov, V'yasu Maisim Elu Lishma. So he says, the word Lishma is an interesting Lashon. And he says, you know where you find the word Lishma? You find it by mitzvahs. A mitzvah has to be Lishma. L'shem Misha Amroi. But by Kinyonim, you don't find such an Inyan that it has to be Lishma. Kavana, you just have to. You, by kinyan, you just have to have das. You have to make sure you know what you're doing. You can't get involved in a transaction unless you have das and you know what it is you're doing. So says the Beis Meir, from the fact that the Rambam used the word lishman, it's mashma that he meant kavanas mitzvahs, and it's mashma that he meant mitzvahs triches kavanas. So one word in the Rambam, says the Beis Meir, is mashma very, very clear, like one sound in the chakiras chacham of the Chacham Tzvi, and that is that we're dealing with kavanas mitzvah. And fakir, the Rambam doesn't mean das kinyan, but he means das mitzvah, and that's why he used the lashon of lishma. But either way, this was the Chacham Tzvi's chakir. And the way the Achrayim understand the Chacham Tzvi, the crux of his suffix was, is chalitza really a mitzvah, or is chalitza not a mitzvah? Yibum, we know for sure, is a mitzvah. Yivama yava yoleh. But chalitza is only the plan B. So the question is chalitza also a mitzvah? Maybe not a mitzvah on the same level as yibum, but a mitzvah nonetheless. Or maybe chalitza is nitafilu a mitzvah. Yibum's a mitzvah, chalitza is not. Now, if it's not a mitzvah, so why are you doing chalitza? Oh, the reason is pashut. Because when a yivama falls the yibum, there's a lab in the Torah, like, see, Eishas Ameis Achutza Lishzar. She's a shemeris yavam, she has zika, she's not allowed to just get married. So she needs chalitza to allow her to get married. Just like gerishin. This is pashtus, not a mitzvah. All it is, it's a document. It's a legal transaction that allows this woman to be able to get married now. That's really what chalitza is. And the truth is, you find a lot of similarities between chalitza and gerishin, as we've discussed many times. Koin zala marry a grusha, koin zala marry a chalutza. So this was really the crux of the shayla. Now, the my nafkamina, so the Chacham Tzvi said the nafkamina is understanding what the das that the chalitza and the chalutza have to have, kimvu in the Gemara, the Kaman, daf kuvav amir aleph. But the Achrayim say there would be many, many nafkaminas. And one very obvious nafkamina would be, what happens if a yuvama falls liyibum, Eishas Ruvin falls liyibum to Shimon, and Shimon says, I don't want to do chalitza, and Eishes Ruvain says, I don't want to do chalitza. Would Beis Din force them to do chalitza, or would Beis Din not force them to do chalitza? Now, if one of them wants the chalitza, one is teveyed, then these are often halachas in Shulchan Aruch, that we would always force the other party to do the chalitza. But what happens if none of them want it? Would we force them or would we not force them? This is the shaila. If it's a mitzvah, so there's a concept, we force a person to do a mitzvah. Just like if a person says that I don't want to eat matzah at the Leila Seder, we would force him to eat the matzah. Or if somebody says sukkah zu she'eni oisa, lulav she'eni noitel, we would force him to do it. So okay, here too, we would force them to do the mitzvah that they have, which is a mitzvah chalitza. If, however, it's not a mitzvah, all it is something that's matter this woman to be able to get married. So if she doesn't want to get married, or she's not interested, then beseder, there's no reason in the world for us to force her. A more intricate shaila, where this would be negeya, is what happens if the woman wants the chalitza, the yavam, the man, doesn't want to give her the chalitza, but she's a woman that can't get married anyways, because she's a katlonis, for example, which very often in yavam's cases is the case. Would we force him to do the chalitza or not? Ordinarily, she has a schos to be teveh the chalitza. But her schos comes from the fact, because she could say, I want to get married. But over here, ben kach, she won't be able to get married. Now, if we would always force him to do the chalitza, sa'avada, b'chal masayim mana, we would force him in this case as well. If, however, we're only forcing because of her schos, so you could hear it sad that in this case, she really doesn't have a schos. And if she doesn't have a schos in this case, then maybe we wouldn't force him to do the chalitza. These were shaylas that the G'dayli Achroinim discussed. And really, it seemed to all boil down to the Chacham Tzvi's Chakira. If Chalitza is a mitzvah, so then it's a mitzvah koifen ala mitzvahs. If it's not a mitzvah, so then if there's a reason, or if she has a schos tviya, so then we would be koifa. But otherwise, there'd be no reason to be koifa. So we mentioned on Daf Lamed Hey, tshuva, and really two tshuvas, from Hagoyin HaGadol, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. One is in Shailas Tshuvas Ber Yitzchak. The other one is in Shailas Tshuvas Ein Yitzchak. Madura Tinyana. One was a shorter tshuva. The other one was a whole kuntres. It was a much longer tshuva. Where he discussed this shail in great detail. And really, what he said emerged from this discussion is in his opinion, a shtickle astira. He had rayas that were not kaifa. But at the same time, he had rayas that it's a mitzvah. So he came up with his achra. But that's a raid bite that we already discussed. A whole nother angle and a whole nother approach to this very fundamental question in terms of understanding chalitza. And that is, we mentioned very, very briefly in the previous raid bite that this shaila was posed to the Heilig Chasam Soif. The tshuva is in Eben Ezra Chelik Beis at Simen Pehe. The question was whether it was a yavam and a yavama. They're skenim boim bayomim. That's the way the question was posed. Sheheskimu shneya midaitam v'ritzoinam sheloi liyabim v'loi lachloitz. Kiim lihishor skukim ze lo ze. Mipnei habusha u'mipnei hatayrach. They feel it's too hard, it's a little embarrassing. They don't want to get involved in chalitza. They're older anyways, no one's getting married. So the question is it okay or is it not okay? And this question was posed to a local Rav who sent the shaila to the Gadol Hadar, to the Chasam Soif, Yalamdeinu Rabbeinu, what's the halacha? Do we force them or do we not force them? Now, the Chasam Sofer wrote a tshuva. But before the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, the Shoyl came to the Chasam Sofer and he told him that, to me, it's pasha, we should force them. We should force them. And the reason is based on a Zohar HaKadosh. He said, it's a Zohar, and based on this Zohar, I believe we should really force them. So what's this Zohar? The Zohar is in Parshas Chukas. And the Zohar, of course, is above our pay grade, but just some of the words here in the Zohar to get a feel for what's happening. Tochazi, zokt the Zohar HaKadosh. It's Taf Kuf Pei Amid Aleph in Zohar Parashas Kukas. So Tochazi, Ahu Miso De Istalik Me Amo B'loi B'nin. A person that was married, he dies, and he leaves over no children, but a brother. Hay Bas Nodif, referring to the Shechina, Lo Kineshas Leila Hu Barnash L'Gaba. It's not going to accept, and it's not going to bring this neshama tachas knafav, the ozel is starred ba'alm, which means that this neshama is going to have to wander in the next world. Lo yishtakach atar, because it has no place of menucha, it has no place to rest. Now the kutsha brichu chayusaleh, the Eibush had rachmanas on this neshama. Upaked laachuei lemifrakle, so gave a mitzvah for the brother of this person that died to go and to redeem this neshama. Lo asava. So that through the brother that's alive, a child will be born. And when that child is born, this person that died is going to come back to the world. Means to return. And to be in part of. Afra Achra, a new offer, a new child, Timadhsiv, Adam al Afar Yashuv, the Oikmuha. And that's what we know as the mitzvah of Yibam. Now, vi hahu paroikulo boilakaim lachui bayalmo. Now, what happens if the brother doesn't want to do Yibam? There's a plan B. Meaning, it's not all lost for this neshama. Boilamikdar chan nal baragle. The brother that's alive would have to put on a shoe. Vahi itza de tishrile. And then this woman comes, removes the shoe, umakablahu nalagaba. And she takes the shoe in her hand. I'm skipping a little bit. Then she takes the shoe, she throws it on the floor. To show that by doing this chalitza, this neshama got menucha. It like rested. Throw it on the floor to show that it's lying, everything is calm. And at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oy lebaser zimna, or maybe after a little bit of time, Chayes Aleh is going to have Rachmanas on the neshama, v'yikabalei la'al ma'achra, and it's going to accept this neshama in the next world. Azay Shteyn Zayir. The Zayir says that if a person dies, leaves over no children, and there's a brother, so right now there's a mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza that are pending, this neshama is in a state of sakana. Again, we don't understand what this really means. But in the verbiage, in the lashonis of the Zayah, the Shechina doesn't want to be makabel this neshama. And as a result, it's a very, very tenuous situation right now. There's a mitzvah of Yibam. Yibam, if it results in a child, would bring this neshama back into the world, and that would be a tikkun gadol for the neshama. If that doesn't happen, as a plan B, you could do chalitza. And what's the punchline of the chalitza? You take the shoe, and the Zohar says, you throw it on the ground, that this child just had menucha, through that, either immediately or after a short while, eventually he's going to end up accepting this nesham. So the Shoyl told the Chassam Sofer, that you want to know what I think? Meaning, I'm the Rav that was asked this question. I believe that it's Pasha Yisha forced them to do Chalitza. You know why? Because read the Zohar. What happens in a situation like this where there's no Chalitza? Rachmanu Litzlan. So you have to save this Neshama. The Brachs. Rather than the Neshama. Some of you have a choice to do. So he said, based on that, I think it's Pasha, this is what you're supposed to do. And by the way, that Beis Shmuel, in Hilchas Yibam V'Chalitza, this is in Simen Kuf Samechei, Toich Dvarav, he just throws in somewhere, Ayin Zayir HaKadosh Parshas Chukas. Already made it to the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Zayir. So this is something that the Poiskim were seemingly, for sure, aware of, but even sensitive to. So he said, based on this Zayir, this would be my psak. So before the Chassam Sofer's response, two very, very short ha'aras, as it relates to this Zayir HaKadosh. One of them we spoke about once. It's just kedai to mention it again. We're not going to go through it again. We'll post it as a related rabbi. But just to chazer over, because it's so geschmack, now that we're learning the sugyas. So, once upon a time, twice, pamayim, we mentioned one of the most famous tshuvas in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. It's an Erechayim Simen Kuf Memhe. The shoyl in that tshuva was the great Goyen Rav Shlomo Kluger. The tshuva was written in the year Tovkuf Tzadik Aleph, 1831, that was the year that the Chassam Sofer was very, very not well, and the Chassam Sofer was recuperating somewhere, and as a result, he wasn't writing tshuvas, and there's very little from the Chassam Sofer in the year Tovkuf Tzadik Aleph. But one of the tshuvas that he did write was a tshuva to Reb Shlomo Kluger, and it was based on a tumult that was going on in the world at the time. What happened was, it was a Maaseh Shel Yekachai, there was a man who was very, very sick. He was a Goyses. It was Yontif Sheni Shel Shavuos, and the doctors said that this person was going to die. They said he's going to die today. The problem is that he had no children. He had a wife and he had a brother. The brother was on the other side of the world, which meant that his wife was going to end up being a Shemeres Yavam, bound by a loisaseh in the Torah, Lesi Eishas HaMesa Chutzal Lishzar, where it wasn't going to be practical to be able to do Yimim V'Chalitza, which really meant she was going to end up being a Yavam. She was going to end up being an Aguna. So the question was what to do. So it was a big tumult. They went to the Rav, who's not named in the tshuva. And the Rav said, I have an etza. Being that it's Yontif Sheni, there's Mokum Lahakel, so what you should do is, you should tell this man to write a get, he should divorce his wife, and if he's going to divorce his wife, like this, she's going to be able to get married, and like this, she'll be a Grusha. A Grusha doesn't follow Yibum. This is not going to be an issue. Now this tshuva made a very big tumult. It happened. But it made a very, very, very big tumult, and to the point that Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was in the area, the Rav in Brod, he felt that he had to be moicha, and he came out with a very, very strong macha against what this Rav had done. And there was a back and forth, and it seems people were starting to say things, and Rabbi Shlomo Kluger felt that the Chassam Sofer, even though he wasn't well, but they needed the Gadol Hadar to come in, and he had to be Machriya, and he had to tell the world whether this Rav that Paskin, that it's okay for this man to write a get, did the right thing, or maybe Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, for coming with such a strong Macha, he was the one that was right for doing. So the Chassam Sofer sat down, and he wrote a long tshuva. Now the Chassam Sofer sided with Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. Incidentally, even though it doesn't say in the tshuva who the Rav that was matter was, but on the bottom, in the Nuch Sam Seifers, they tell you who it was. It was the Yad HaMelech. The Yad HaMelech was Rabbi Loza Landau, who was a very famous Rav in Europe. He was also a Ben HaChaben of the Noid of Yehuda. So it was the Noid of Yehuda's Enakel, a Penanshal Kedoshim, one of the great Gedoilim of the Dar. But he said this very, very big controversial kula that Rabbi Shlomo Kluger was moich against, and the Chassam Sofer doubled down on the macha of Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. So what was the real basis for this Rav to be matter? So he explained himself, and he had a few reasons, three reasons. Here was the first one. The first one was, he quoted this Zohar. The Zohar says that if somebody dies and leaves over no children, the neshama, forget about the aguna, the neshama, the person that died, is in great danger. And the only way to get him out of this danger is through Yibum or Chalitza. Now, if we're not going to be able to do Yibum or Chalitza, you know what's going to end up happening? What's going to end up happening is he's going to be in a terrible, terrible state of Sakana. So said the Yad HaMelech, a gewaldige chiddush, said something very gishmak. He said, the Gemara says in Be'edav Vavam and Aleph, that Yontif Sheini Lagabi Meis Kechol Shavinu Rabban. That Yontif Sheini Lagabi Meis is Kechol. Which means if somebody dies, the Chevra Kaddisha, when it comes to Yontif Sheini, you treat him and you make believe it's a regular Tuesday. You do whatever you have to do. You have all the Yisurim, all the Malachas, Kechol Shavinu Rabban. See, he made a Kal V'Chaymer. He says, Madach as it relates to burying the Meis, Yontif Sheini is Kechol Shavinu Rabbanon. Kal V'Chaymer Ben Benoishel, Kal V'Chaymer for the Neshama of the Meis, Kechol Shavinu Rabbanon. So if it's Kechol Shavinu Rabbanon, you're allowed to go ahead, you're allowed to write a get. That was his psak. Hafla V'Fel. But this was the psak of Rabbi Loza Landau. Again, we're learning the Zohar now. We're holding in the Sugis of Yevamis now. Right? The last time we spoke about it, we were learning the Sugis of Yontif Sheini. Right? This, it crosses over with so many different Sugis. But here in the Sugis of Chalitza, after hearing this Lashon of the Zohar HaKadosh, so it sounds like it's a big sakana. So the Yad HaMelech said, Vaseis, there's a Zohar. And he says, by the way, the Beis Shmuel quoted the Zohar. So we know this is a Zohar that the Poskim quoted. And if this is a Zohar that was Poskim quoted, so for sure it's a Tzarchei Meis. Tzarchei Meis, Yontif Sheini's Kechol Shavinu Rabbanu. So he says, based on that, it's a Davar Pashut. They let it go, and you're allowed to be Lekatchilo, you're allowed to write again. That's one sushtal to the Zohar. The second sushtal to the Zohar is something that I saw in the Sefer Chashuk Echemet from Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita. He says something very gishmak. The Shaila that he was asked, whatever, we'll skip the Shaila, it's getting late. But he brings, Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a Sefer Lekach Toif. And a Lekach Toif in Klal Tezvav, Rabbi Yosef Engel declares a Shaila against something that we have multiple related raid bites on. And that is, if you have a question of Ribui HaKamus versus Ribui HaEchos, Roiv HaKamus versus Roiv HaEchos, quality versus quantity in Halacha, what's Machriya? Quantity is Roiv HaKamus. You have a lot more. Quality is Roiv HaEchos. You have less, numerically speaking, but at the same time, the one that you have is of a higher quality. So what's Machriya? We go Basar Roiv. But within Roiv, you can hear two types of Roivs. You can hear Roiv HaKamus, you can hear Roiv HaEchos. So whenever it comes to a Shaila of Roiv, if it's a face-off between Roiv HaKamus, Roiv HaEchos, mi Machriya? Is Roiv HaKamus Machriya? Or is Roiv HaEchos Machriya? Now what's Exhibit A for this Shaila? Shamim Besilil. Right, we know there was Machlokes B'Shamim Besilil. Halal Oimrim Halacha Kimoiseinu. Halal Oimrim Halacha Kimoiseinu. So the Gedolei Achrayim say, what was that Shaila? Halal Oimrim Halacha Kimoiseinu. Right, B'Shamim Besilil, for 3 years they argued. B'Shamim said the halacha is like us. Besilil said the halacha is like us. What do you mean? Obviously, if B'Shamim said what they said, obviously they thought the halacha was like them. And if Besilil said what they said, obviously they thought the halacha was like them. So all the Gedolei Achrayim, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad, Bechoda Machdon, every single Achrayim that opined on this Gemara, Kemat said the same exact Hezver. And they says no. Bisham Besilil, they argue. And they understood that they have to be machriya. Okay, so how are we going to be machriya? The way we're going to have to be machriya is by going basarayv. That's how we're going to have to be machriya. But then they had another fight. They had another machlokes. Who's the rayv? Beis Hillel said alochel kimoyseinu. Beis Hillel was rayv akamos, like Tosfos says throughout Shas. They were the rayv. The majority of the yidden were really from Beis Hillel. And because the rayv were from Beis Hillel, they said alochel kimoyseinu. We're the rayv. Beis Shammai said alochel kimoyseinu. You know why? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that Beis Shammai was mechada ditvei. They were sharper, and because they were sharper, they held fakert. They held we're roiv ha'echos halachah kimoyseinu. So the machloek l'shaim v'silul really boiled down to machloek of roiv akamas roiv ha'echos. So Yisav Engel says, but muskarishim we know yatsa basko va'amre elu ve'elu diver l'kim chayim v'alachah kimoyseinu, which sounds like the basko was machria roiv akamas halachah kimoyseinu. But either way, Rabbi Yisav Engel wrote a sefer called Lekach Toiv, and in Lekach Toiv in Klal Tez Vav he has 26 marim mekoyimus. We've spoken at a bunch of them. We have one rabbi, we went through like 5 or 10 of them. And over there he brings 26 mekoyrois, nafgeminois, beautiful tzushtals to this shaylo of roiv akamos versus roiv aechos. Here's number 24, which we skipped at the time for a very, very obvious reason. But it's very pertinent now because we're holding teeth in the sugya now. He says, I have another raya. I have another right to this shayla of Roiv HaKamos versus Roiv HaEchos. And that's from a Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah in the very beginning of Perek Arba Achen. This is what it means, Kol HaTayro Kula, was Goloi V'yodua Lefanav. I mean, this is, you talk about seeing everything at once. So he's sitting down, Rabbi Yosef Engel, the great Goyen, and he's writing the Sefer Lekach Toiv, and he says, Chav Arayit to this shayla from a Mishnah Yevamos Chav Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah discusses Arba Achen. There were four brothers, two of them were married to sisters, and the two that were married to sisters died. So now two sisters fully Yibam. The Mishnah says, Harei Elu Chol Tzois V'loi Mesiyamis. And the Gemara says two reasons why. One, Pshat the Gemara says, it's because Yesh Zika, Ish Yevamah is also the sister of the other Yevamah. So therefore there's an Issa Yibam because of Achai Ziku Kasai. Obsidonach Amandama in Shas. So Amandama Mavasalt Ein Zika. Says the Gemara, the Amandama the whole Ein Zika, why is it Harei Elu Chol Tzois V'loi Mesiyamis? So the Gemara says, Mishum Da Asal Avatal Mitzvah Yevam. Because we're afraid that if one brother is going to do Yibam and then the other brother is going to die, so it's going to come out that you won't be able to do Yibam V'chalitza with the other Yevama, and it'll be that you are Mavatal Mitzvah Yevam and with the other Yevama. So if you do Chalitza with one, there's nothing that would ever preclude you from being able to do Chalitza to the other. You won't be able to do Yibam because she's Achis Chalutzasai, but at the very least you will be able to do Chalitza. However, if you're going to do Yibam to the first one and then the other brother dies, so no one will be doing Yibam v'chalitza with the other Yevama, so Asa Levatal Mitzvahs Yevamim, and because of Asa Levatal Mitzvahs Yevamim, so it's for that reason, says the Gemara, even if you hold Ein Zika, Harei Elu Chodzeis V'loi Mesiyapis, said Rabbi Yosef Engel, I'm not sure I understand this halacha. Why? Because I can argue that we know Mitzvahs Yibam is Koidemes L'Mitzvahs Chalitza. We're actually about to learn the Sugya and Daf Lamed Tes, but the Pashtus is that Yibum is plan A, and Chalitza is plan B. Now, but Meshach HaDairis, things change. But in a perfect world, in utopia, Yibum is the first option. It's the better option. Chalitza is the lesser option. If Roiv HaEchos is Aduf Mi Roiv HaKamos, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, maybe it would be better to do Yibum with the first Yivama, even though there's a concern that maybe the second brother's gonna die, which will mean that the other Yevama will end up with nothing. Oh, but maybe it's better to do one Yibum versus doing two Chalitzas. And he says, you wanna know what I think that is? It's Roiv HaKamos versus Roiv HaEchos. Two Chalitzas is Roiv HaKamos. One Yibum is Roiv HaEchos. Shmakachap. So he says, well, why do we say Hare Elu Chalitzas V'Lei Mesiyabmes? Maybe you should do Yibum. You can end up doing nothing with the other Yevama, but mitzad the brother, Echab Tzvei Shailas da. I could do a Roiv HaKamos, I could do a Roiv HaEchos. Maybe I should do the Roiv HaEchos. Why am I doing the Roiv HaKamos? Oh, so it could be Yisrael Engel, Saraya, Roiv HaKamos is out of me, Roiv HaEchos. This is number 24. You can see why we didn't speak this out last time when we were learning brachas. But this is number 24 that Rabbi Yosef Engel brings a raya. Levan Dama ain't Zika as Levatu Mitzvahs Yabin. I want you say if I can't Reva Eichas. The Torah says you see because Reva Kamas is other. As long as Rabbi Yosef Engel Kedarkoi a beautiful Charifas Zokrev Zilberstein. He says I hear Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yeshloim at this is a little bit different. Why? Based on the Zaya, because the Zaya says that any time there's a situation where somebody dies and there's going to be no Yibum and there's going to be no Chalitza, so it comes out that the
neshama of this mace is really in great danger. And what does he need? He needs either a yibum or a chalitza. So it could be lo oilam roiva echos is better than roiva kamos. And you're right, if you're looking at it from the selfish perspective of the yavam would tell himself that maybe I'll do the yibum because it's roiva echos. And that's taka odif than doing two chalitzas. Oh, but it's not about the yavam. It's about lahaktiv shev lahachiv. It's about bailing out this neshama, like the Zohar says. So if that's the case, this neshama needs something. So if you're going to go ahead and you're going to do yibum, and then you're not going to be able to do yibum v'chalitza. So what was that zayin with the neshama of the mace? So it's for that reason we say arei chalitzas v'leim yisyab mois. He says, I don't know if this is a tzushtel. This is what Rav Zilberstein says in Chashuk Echemet in the beginning of Perek Arba Achin and Daf Chavav. This was his tzushtel to Rav Yosef. But either way, this is the Zohar. The Zohar says that when it comes to doing chalitza, there's another component over here. There's an issue over here of sakana. There's an issue that the neshama of the mace, like the Zohar Kaddish says, some very, very strong language, the shchinan, the chulu. So it's for that reason we need to go ahead and do chalitza. So going back to the truth of the Chassam Sofer. The Shoyal sent the Shoyal to the Chassam Sofer, where what happened? When Mais Shoyal Kachoyah, there was a Yibum, that both Skein and Ban by Yomim, his skimu shneem mitaitam veritsoinam, shaloy li yabim veloy lachloy tzkim li is it okay? Is it not okay? So the Shoyal told the Chassam Sofer, it's pasha to me, you have to force them to do chalitza. You know why? Not for them. They don't want to do it, b'seder. That's okay. We can discuss Chacham Tzviz. But the problem is, there's an neshama over here that needs it. And because there's an neshama that needs it, it's for that reason I think we need to force the Yavam and the Yavama to go ahead and do chalitza. Talk about coming from a whole nother angle. Coming from the perspective of this Zohar HaKadosh. A Zohar HaKadosh that has merit because it's quoted in a Beis Shmuel. Again, every Zohar HaKadosh has merit. But the Achroina made a big deal. The Shoyal, the Beis Shmuel quotes it. So Luchura, if that's the case, based on this Zohar, this is something that we should do. So what did Chassam Sofer respond? So in our Chabura, we're shtickle familiar with Chassam Sofer. Baruch Hashem, and his tshuvas, we know what the Chassam Sofer responded. There was no way the Chassam Sofer was going to like this. So the Chassam Sofer wrote back to him that he says, it's pasha to me from Kama Sugyas and Shas, that if the Yavam and the Yavama don't want to do Yibam or Chalitza, we don't force them. He says, V'chein yesh lahavim, he brings a raya or two, and then he says, V'chein yesh lahavim mishas bekama duchte. Ichab asach rayas. It's pasha that that's the way it is. Zog there, now you're telling me that there's a Zoyar. And the Zoyar says, there's a whole other component. V'hine, im lu it would come out then there's a machloek between the poiskim and the mekubala. Because the stomach of shas bekama duchti is that we don't force. Ah, in the Zohar it should come out that maybe you should force. That you can never force someone to follow a Zohar. And if that's true in a case where we don't know anyone that argues with the Zohar, we wouldn't argue with the Zohar. For sure, if I have rayas and the chamtzvis Hakira and all the lundas and the tshuvas from Tzchachon, and there's so many tshuvas, we have what to say as it relates to Niglo. So if the Niglo has an opinion on the matter, you can't jump to a Zohar. It's not the way it is. Raksha Zohar Machmer, Pshita She'en Biyodeinu Lokuf L'Kayim Dvarav. It's Pashit. Even L'Chumra, we don't have the right ever to force someone to follow a Zohar. Certainly, if there's Mashmoyis in the Niglo, not that way. V'day Lonu Sha'roitza L'Hachmer She'en Maschichin Oysoi. Into that lashon, it's enough that if someone wants to be machmer like a zayir, we allow him. Avolakuf, afilu bedvarim loyshamana. But to talk someone into it, afilu bedvarim zokter chassam soifer loyshamana. There's no messiah to ever do this. Then the chassam soifer started being mefakvik a little bit in the zayir. He says, I don't really understand the zayir, which is the whole point of the chassam soifer. He's not being mefakvik in it. He's saying we just don't understand it. That's what it means. Ain lo no esek bin astaris. You can't pask in shilas based on things you don't understand. We don't understand. We have a messiah that we don't understand Kabbalah. So what are you supposed to do? Ain lo no esek bin astaris means we don't have a havana. To pask in a shayla, you have to have a certain level of clarity in an Indian. So you can understand the Zohar, you can say drashas and pulpulim. Oh, but to have an azah sort behirus in it, that you can actually pask in a shayla, that level of clarity you can have. That's what the Chassam Sofer always said. It's not possible to have that. So the Chassam Sofer says, I'm going to ask you a question. Right? Everyone would agree Yibum is better than Chalitza. He says, learn the Zohar. The Zohar said very clearly that, how does Yibum help the neshama of the mace? If they do Yibum, and a child is born, so the mace comes back into the world through the child. What's the second option? Second option is you do chalitza. By throwing the shoe on the floor, that somehow is a way of showing that now the neshama is at peace. Frank the Chassam Sofer, what would be if there would be a yibum, but there would be no child that was born? It sounds like that would be worse than chalitza. He says, really, the din should be, every time you have skenim that are born by yonim, well, you know there's not going to be a child anyways, we should tell them to lechatchila du chalitza. And he says, that's a dovah shaloi shamanu. No one ever heard that. So he says, obviously, we have to understand the Zohar a little bit better. And therefore, he says, just based on that very simple ha'aruh, which, it's a poshita aleph bei Zohar. So it's clear that there's more here. So he says at the end, v'yoysim yizeh ein iti bozeh, bedovah she'en lo shayrish b'shas u'poyskim. He says, I don't want to talk more about something that doesn't have a shayrish and shas, doesn't have a shayrish and shas u'poyskim. Hanestoreis la'shem alikenuhu. And hu yiyeh imanu v'yazreinu al das kvoyt shmoy ha'godo. Moshe HaKotan Soifer, me frank for the mind. That's the way the Chassam Soifer ended the Shaila. He says, you want to know what Dalach is? Dalach is you don't force a Yavam and a Yavam to do Chalitza in the event that they don't want to do Chalitza. Either is a Zoyer, or Zen Nemar, Ein Lonu Esek Bin Estaris. Even though the Yad HaMelech wrote this festakula based on the Zoyer, and even though the Beis Shmuel quoted the Zoyer, and the Geshmak HaChap from Yitzchak Zilberstein with this Zoyer to be Mefakfeg on the 24th Mar Makim of Rabbi Yosef Engel, Lekachtoib, as it relates to Reiv HaKamos and Reiv HaEchos of the Chassam Soifer. The Chassam Sofer says, when it comes to Kabbalah and Halacha, ain't lano esek ben estaris.